If you have your Bible this morning, we're going to be in the book of Colossians chapter 4. If you are our guest, we began this year with a vision, a vision 2020, perfecting the call that God has for our life. And we've walked through different aspects of who God is and what Jesus Christ has done. Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the series of I will go, I will give, I will share. This morning, we're looking at I will pray for the opportunities. We think about opportunities in our lives. You have been there. You think about opportunities with your job. You have opportunities to maybe relocate for your job with more money, more benefits. You start in an organization, and maybe you start at the bottom and you work your way up with new opportunities to maybe one day be in management or whatever it may be. Or you think about lawyers, those guys who just kind of start off and then one day their name is on the side of the building of a law firm. They had the opportunity to move up and be a part of a law firm or own part of it. Same thing for the idea with Jesus Christ. We have opportunities day in and day out to be a vessel for Jesus, but we must be willing to pray for those things and to step through the door when the time comes. However, there are times in our life that the opportunities are there and we miss it. But also there are times as Christian people that we forget about the opportunities and what God is calling us to do. And the reason we are not making the most of our opportunities and just sleeping through so many opportunities is because we have made division between the life of faith and our daily life. When you think about the opportunities to share the gospel, that must be something that we do daily. We must pray for the opportunities. Your spiritual life and your everyday life should not be two different things. But for many people, including those in the church, your spiritual life is maybe a Sunday mindset, and your everyday life is the other 6 days of the week. And in reality, those two lives should blend together, that we're living a life that brings honor and glory to Jesus, and we are praying for those opportunities daily. We think about the things that we do daily. You get into a routine. Maybe you get up every morning and you drink coffee, whatever it may be. I'm not a coffee guy. I'm a Diet Mountain Dew type of fella. And you do the same thing over and over. You get ready. You make sure you look good. You go to work or whatever it may be. But as we walk through those things, sometimes we become content. We become satisfied where we are. And that's oftentimes in the Christian life. Many of us have lost that excitement. We've lost the excitement that burned within us when we first became to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And many of you can understand that. You remember when you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior and you walked out of that church or that convention center, whatever it may be, and the mindset was you were going to take on hell with a water pistol and nothing was going to stop you because you believed in this God and how mighty He was. And here you are maybe 30, 40 years later and you are content, you're satisfied in your Christian walk, you have lost the excitement of seeing someone come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you think about that idea, many of us are desiring to experience a full-time joy and the full-time blessings of living a life for Jesus Christ while living a part-time Christian life. We're expecting all the benefits. We're expecting the handouts. We won't talk about that in the world that we're in today, but we're expected the handouts. We're expected to receive the trophy for participating. We're expected to receive the pat on the back when we're not doing it the best that we can. And in the Christian life, many of us are there. When we think about that, the Christian life is an adventure for all who will venture out to take their faith into the marketplace of the daily opportunities. This morning, we're going to look at Colossians 4. And this passage of Scripture is broken down into two points that I want you to think about this morning. It's simply speaking to God and speaking to others in the six verses we see in Colossians chapter 4. So if you have your Bible, let's start in verse 1, looking at our first thought, the speaking to God. Verse 1, "Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." Let's think about this first point this morning, speaking to God in verses 2 through 4. The book of Colossians is coming to an end. Paul is writing to those and he's desiring for them to understand the importance of speaking to God. Verse 2, it says, "Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving." This opens up and encourages us to pray, but to be watchful and thoughtful praying, that we're praying with a purpose. We're praying with a mindset, knowing that our God is going to answer that prayer, regardless if He answered the way that we're asking or whatever it may be. Devoting ourselves to prayer. The definition of devote, or to be devoted to something, is to persist, to give constant attention. Many of us are devoted to many things in our life. Maybe you think about what you do, your job. You're devoted to your job, right? Everybody's considered essential nowadays. They gave you a piece of paper and told you where you are essential. You're devoted to that. You're devoted to your marriage. You're devoted to your children. You're devoted to your hobby, whatever it may be. It's constant attention you are longing for. You are going to remain faithful in and through. But when you understand what Paul is talking to at the church of Colossae, the devoted prayer mindset is simply this. Devoted to prayer refers to God consciousness that comes from walking with Him and relating each experience in life to Him. That we understand that nothing happens by coincidence. That things are not happening in the world today by coincidence. They are a divine plan of our God. But as believers, we must understand what we are called to do. The only hope that we have is found in and through Jesus Christ. And if we as Christians are not willing to share that hope with the world around us, how can we know that the world understands who our God is? But I want you to think about prayer for a moment. Many of you had someone in your life that you called the praying mama, right? There's a couple ladies in this church that when I need somebody to pray, I call them because, as I say it, they pray heaven straight down. That when they pray, they understand the prayer closet. They understand that it's between them and God. And they are going to pray mightily in the name of God. But as a believer, prayer is the most important expression in the new life as a Christian. You understand, as a believer, now you can go straight to the throne of God. I'm thankful personally, that as a believer, I can go straight to the throne of God through the bloodshed of Jesus Christ. I don't have to go to anyone. I don't have to go to any individual. I can pray directly to our God because the veil was ripped top to bottom, and He gives us the opportunity to do just that. It is the means of obtaining for ourselves and others the satisfaction that's found in and through a relationship with Jesus Christ. But prayer is also a divinely appointed weapon against the sinister attacks of the devil and the demons, that you can proclaim the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ when you are under attack. And if you're sitting here today and you're not under attack, I can rest assured it's coming. But Satan, I've learned, doesn't attack those that's outside the will of God as much as he attacks those that's inside the will of God. So if you are focusing on being in God's will, you can rest assured that Satan is going to attack you. But also, prayer is the vehicle for the confession of sin, so that you may say, God, I've messed up, and God, I'm in need of forgiveness, and I'm asking for that through repentance. But most importantly, my personal opinion, when we're looking at the praying for the opportunities, what is prayer? Prayer is the power behind the people coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you're not praying for salvation, church, we're missing what we're supposed to be praying for. The number one thing we pray for people is that they come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they realize they're a sinner in need of a Savior, and we ask God to radically intervene in a way that they see that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. But how many times have we prayed for salvation? How many times over the last week have you as a Christian prayed for salvation for someone in your family, someone that you work with? Or you may be like me at times, we forget to pray about that salvation. How can we forget to pray about salvation if it's the most important thing in our lives? If I pulled each and every one of you to the side and I ask you, Miss Kathy, what's the number one decision that you made in your life? You're going to tell me putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If I ask Captain Gamble over here on my right, hey, what's the number one decision that you made? And you're going to say, putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Every single one of you in here this morning that have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ is going to tell me that the greatest decision you ever made was putting your faith and trust in Jesus, yet we're not sharing the saving knowledge with those around us. Why? Because we're not praying for the opportunities. Look at verse 3 with me, with the mindset of speaking to God. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. You'll see here that Paul has a prayer, but there's two points to his prayer per se. First of all, Paul asked his friends to pray that he would have more witnessing opportunities. Now, I want you to think about this for just a moment. Think about your friends. How many times have you gathered together at the table or wherever it may be, the deer camp, the golf course, whatever, and you actually had a conversation with your friends and you said, hey, you know what? I want you to pray for me that I have more opportunities to share the gospel. Now, I'm going to tell you, I told the first service the same thing. I have never done that in my life where I looked at a friend of mine and I said, Mike, I want you to pray for me that I have more opportunities to share the gospel. But Paul is saying, guys, as believers, as fellow disciples, that we must be praying for these opportunities so that we can be who God is calling us to be. The second thing we see that Paul's talking about here is he's praying to keep the focus on Jesus. I think oftentimes we forget that what matters is Jesus. Through it all, it's Jesus. No matter what you face, it's Jesus. No matter what you come in contact with, it's Jesus. And Paul understood that. And if you look in verse 3 there, you'll see the latter part that says, I am also in bonds. That Paul understood that even chains, that even a jail cell, that shipwreck, the being stoned and almost killed on multiple occasions, that nothing would stop him from sharing an opportunity of the gospel that's in Jesus Christ. No matter where he was at, he was going to witness to the jail cell, to the jailers in the jail cell. No matter where he was at, he was going to witness at whatever church it may be, whether it be Thessalonica, Colossae, Ephesus, you fill in the blank. Paul understood what was most important. But in verse 3, he makes a statement there that simply says that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Think about that door. At your house, people come to your house, they knock on the door, and what do? You may say, well, is somebody coming over? And then you go and look who it is, and then you let them in or you don't, depending on who it is, right? But you open the door, you allow them to come in, you offer them somewhere to sit. If you're anything like me, they can sit anywhere but my chair. And when they sit down, you say, hey, can I get you anything to drink or anything to eat? You show them that hospitality. The door that we see here is about us understanding to enjoy those friends so that we might have the conversations that Paul is talking about, so that we might pray for the opportunities and understand the opportunity that's found in and through Jesus Christ. But think about a closing door. Maybe your kids are growing up, they're going off to college, they're going off to work, and they step out that door and you close the door behind them as they experience the new opportunities. How many of us walk out the door day in and day out praying and asking for an opportunity to be a light and a vessel for those that we come in contact with? Paul desires for more opportunities to witness, but Paul also desires for us to keep what's most important, most important. In other words, continuing the door metaphor that we just talked about, Paul asked for prayer to recognize when an opportunity to share the gospel was knocking. I want you to think about that door for a moment. What do those doors look like? Those doors may not look like a decorated door on your front porch. Those doors may not be always a gospel conversation that leads to salvation. But those doors, being and praying for those opportunities, could be praying for those that are going through a tough time, walking alongside those that are going through a tough marriage. And instead of giving your advice, we are praying for God's wisdom. Instead of for saying what you should have done or could have done, we're asking for God to mend the brokenness. Think about those doors that you've seen over the last week or two that you have failed to walk through. If you're anything like me, we miss it often because we're so busy. We have so many things to do, whether it be sports, whether it be our job, whether it be maybe our hobby, whatever it may be. Sometimes we're so preoccupied that we don't listen to the tapping on the door, and we even miss the beating of the door. God is giving us the opportunities. We must be willing to step through. But go a little bit further with me in verse 4 for just a moment. It says that I may make manifest as ought to speak, that I may make it clear the way that I speak. God and Paul is praying for clarity. He's praying that the things that he's saying is clear and people understand it, that it's not overcomplicated. It's kind of like during this pandemic. If you're anything like me, you've listened to a lot of different people preach during this time. And you might have even shared someone that you heard preach. And church, I want you to listen to this, and I want you to understand this completely. Everything that you hear being preached is not found on the Word of God. It doesn't matter how many likes they have, how many views they have. Just because they're saying Jesus and just because they're saying God doesn't mean that they believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. And it does not mean that there's only two places that you're going to spend eternity, and that's a place called heaven and a place called hell. So I want you to be sure that you know what you're listening to. And the only way you're going to know the difference is by asking God to reveal himself through his word and the wisdom that's found therein. The Roman road of salvation. Most everybody here knows it. You might have been led to Jesus through the Roman road, a vacation Bible school, or whatever it may be. I want you to think about the Roman road for just a moment with me. If you know it, that's great. If you don't, I want to give you a couple of points so that you are now equipped. If someone says they are in need of Jesus, you can now say, hey, I know what it's all about. Simply this. Number one, every person is a sinner. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if you've had an abortion. It doesn't matter if you're a homosexual. It doesn't matter if you gossip or if you get drunk. At the end of the day, every single human is a sinner and is in need of a Savior, and that Savior is found in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:23 says this, for the wages of fall of sin and come short of the glory of God. For no matter what you've done, no matter how good you may think you are, every one of us and those we come in contact with deserve a place called hell. But because of the bloodshed of Jesus Christ, we can experience a place called heaven. The second idea of the Roman road is God's penalty for sin is a spiritual death. That is eternal separation from God in a place called hell, where it's really hot, where it's a place you do not want to be. And that's the only other place that you can spend eternity if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Romans 6:23, many of us know it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. That we can experience this eternal life if we put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. The third idea is simply, in his great love, God has made a provision for salvation of all people. Before we go any further, if you're writing this down, I want you to underline the word all. There is no such thing as a select few. There is no such thing that God only died for certain people. The God that I serve, the God that I believe, died for all people. That's you, that's me, that's those who's lived, and that's those who are going to live. If God allows to do so, that all people God desires to have a relationship with. Romans 5:8 is the reference. I want you to think about that. But God commanded his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, God, Christ died for us. My favorite is simply this one. Each person must put his or her trust in Jesus Christ. That it's free will. That God did not create robots. God gave you the ability to say yes to Jesus or to say no to Jesus. And for salvation, many of you said yes. But when the opportunities come and they continue to come, we often say no because we're not praying for and looking for those opportunities. Romans 10:9-10 is the reference that goes with that. That if you shall confess with your mouth, that you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, ye shall be saved. What is required for salvation? Romans 10:9-10 tells us that you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, that you believe that he rose him from the dead, that you confess your sins, and you will be saved. Have you ever shared the gospel with any individual? Have you ever walked through the Roman road with any person that you've ever come in contact with? Some of you will say yes, and some of you will say no. If your answer is no, to put it very blunt, you just simply don't care about the souls of those you're coming in contact with. Our answer must be yes, because we desire to see people coming to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. We must speak to God. Verses 5 and 6, we must speak to others. Verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Verse 5 there, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. This verse of Scripture calls Christians, calls you and me to show God's wisdom daily as we interact with society. The life that we live, outsiders should be able to look at our decision to follow Jesus and see that it has made a difference in our life. They should desire to want what we have because we believe in God and we're living a life that shows just that. We should conduct ourselves in a way that the Christ that we live for will be attractive and impressive. Now, I'm not talking about trying to sell Jesus or sell who He is. That we should be attractive. The life that we live that shows what we used to be, what we were before Jesus and after Jesus, that those around us want to see the difference that Jesus has made and the impression that we give, that Jesus Christ could take someone like you and take someone like me, someone bound to hell, and radically change our life because of what Jesus Christ did, not for what we have done. That same verse says, walk in wisdom. I personally believe someone that possesses the wisdom of God is someone that prays for opportunities to be used by God. Someone who understands wisdom, someone who understands what God is doing in their life, is someone who's praying for God to be moved in a mighty way. Think about this illustration with me that I read a couple of weeks ago. Mom and dad sitting in church with their child, the pastor's preaching, and the pastor says something like this: the God that we serve is bigger than me and you. So on the ride home, the little girl looks over to mom and says something like this: is God really bigger than me and you? And the mama looks back and says, yes, absolutely. God is huge. The second question the pastor made, or the statement the pastor makes, and got the little girl questioning, the pastor says this: that God lives within you. That God is dwelling within you. So continuing the ride home, the little girl looks at her mom and says, is God really living within us? And the mom answers and simply says, yes, if you know Jesus Christ. So the little girl looks up at her mom and says this: well, if God is bigger than us and He is living within us, wouldn't He show through us? Now, if you read that, or you look at that the way that I read that, it basically hit me in the mouth and said, you know what, Bobby? Here's what you must understand. Yes, you preach day in and day out, but the amount of people that you come in contact with every other day of the week, it's far more than those that sit in the church that you pastor. And we should be showing that our God is bigger, our God is mightier, and our God is within us, and He's showing through us by the life that we live. The verb that's used in these verses of Scripture here, verses 5 and 6, simply gives us the idea of to buy out or to purchase completely, where the Scripture says to make the most of every opportunity in one of the translations. It allows us to understand to buy out, to purchase completely. You know of a business that has gone out of business and someone else came in and what? They bought them out. They bought their assets. They bought the name. They bought the stocks and all these type things. As Christians, we are to purchase fully every opportunity God offers us to share our faith in Jesus Christ. That we should jump on the opportunity. That we should move everything to the side and say yes to Jesus and yes to those who are in need of our Savior. Because in reality, the Bible tells us there in Romans 10, 9 and 10 that all people matter to God. In 2 Corinthians 5, 19 it says this: to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation, to be made right, because we love others. 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath a torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. The amount of people that are scared of where we are in the world today, it absolutely blows my mind. The amount of Christians who are scared where we are today really leaves me bumfuzzled. Why are we allowing the world to remove our joy and fill it with fear when we hold the power that's in the name of Jesus Christ? Why are we allowing the media to allow us to panic over something that our God has control in the palm of His hand? We must understand what this means here. It means simply that our God is bigger and greater than anything we come in contact with. But I want you to move back to verse 3 with me of Colossians 4, looking at speaking to others. with all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Speak the mystery of Christ. What is Paul saying? In mine and your terminology today is simply this. In other words, just keep the focus on Jesus. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep what matters at the forefront of your life, that Jesus Christ is on the way, that we should be desiring for God to grant us the opportunities to share, and when the time comes, we are willing to share. I want you to think about when you try to share the gospel with someone. Sometimes our encounter with lost people, they detour from Jesus down side roads or back alleys. We get sidetracked by focusing on a person's sinful behavior, their external issues, or even sometimes the programs of the church that we're missing, that God is the only way that one can be changed. In closing, I want you to look at the last verse. As we understand speaking to others, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. This verse tells us how we as Christians are to respond. The phrase to be full of grace basically means to be gracious or pleasant in our speech. If you're anything like me, sometimes your mouth gets the best of you. You fire off before you think about it. You allow your emotions to get a hold of you, and you say things that are not always encouraging and edifying. But as a Christian, one of the greatest marks of a Christian, I believe, is the way that we talk. Look at what they said about Jesus in Luke 4. And all bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Or what about Ephesians 4:15? But speaking in truth and love may grow up unto him all things, which is the head, even unto Christ. What is Paul trying to get us to understand? If you're marking your Bible, I want you to mark this phrase in Colossians 4:6. That ye may know. That ye may know. How do individuals know if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior? That our speech is with grace and seasoned with salt. That we're praying for those opportunities. We're asking God to move in a mighty way. I want you to think about those who taught you growing up. Those who taught you in maybe elementary school, junior high school, college. We all had teachers that we liked, right? And we all had teachers that we couldn't stand. I'll say it. We had those that were really fun. We had those that were terrible. And for me, it was always my English teachers that I wasn't a big fan of, right? Just because I guess I talked too fast and they didn't like that. I like certain teachers. I like certain maybe history teachers, because normally why they were coaches, right? And you could do whatever you wanted to do. Let's be honest. Some of y'all thought like that as well. But think about those in your life. Has anybody ever taught you how to share the gospel? Has anybody ever taught you how to disciple someone? Has anybody ever sat you down and said, Les, if you have a conversation with somebody who's in need of Jesus, this is what you do? I'm going to venture to say that over half in here has never been taught how to respond when the opportunity presents itself to share the gospel. You may say, well, Bobby, 50% is pretty low. Well, if it's more than 50% and it's 75%, I'm going to venture to say that many of us are failing at the opportunities to share the gospel. It's all about who we're listening to, right? It's all about our teachers. Think about it like this. If you desire to know, then you must desire to learn. And if you must desire to learn, you must find a teacher. If you desire to know who this God is, you must desire to learn all you can about this God. And if you desire to learn, you must find a teacher. So who is the greatest teacher for us to look at when it comes to praying for opportunities? Well, that obviously is Jesus Christ. And if we look at the way Jesus Christ functioned throughout his ministry, he was willing to learn. Did you remember the story where he was in the temple, where his mom and dad were looking for him, and he answered and said something like this, that I'm about my Father's business, that he understood what he was called to do. Many of us, listen, do not desire to learn what God is teaching us in his word. If we did, we'd study. And when we study, we would learn that we are to pray for the opportunities. The first thought I gave you this morning simply said this. The reason we are not making the most of our opportunities and just sleeping through so many opportunities is because we have made a division between life of faith and our daily life. My prayer for you this morning is if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that your life of faith and your daily life will go hand in hand as you walk through this thing called life. But you may be sitting here this morning, that's the first time you've experienced the Roman road and you realize you're in need of salvation. I want you to know that based on Romans 10, 9, and 10, that if you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, ye shall be saved. The opportunity for you this morning may be salvation. But if you've experienced God as your Lord and Savior, I pray that you'll pray for the opportunities to be a vessel so that people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you for who you are. We praise you for who you are. We give you the adoration for who you are. God, this morning, that if anyone is here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, God, my prayer is that today will be the day of salvation. God, they'll realize that you died for them, sinful man, sinful woman, but God, you desire to have a relationship with us. God, for those who are sitting here who know you as Lord and Savior and are content where they are, God, I pray that you will reignite that fire in them, that you'll grant the sense of urgency in them, that they will realize that the opportunities are there and the doors are open, but we must be willing to walk through. God, may we see the opportunities and may we step out in faith to be that vessel for you. God, I'm praying for your will to be done and for you to have thine own way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.